JC Corcoran Podcast.
In my office where people wear clothes because it's cold, while you're at a bar in Miami watching bimbos walk by in bikinis. I never look at other men because I have you, but you look at bimbos in bikinis. Do you have to? I don't like Miami. There's too much flesh out of control. When someone's boobs are in your face, how can you see their soul? And then it's like, lust is rampant, and all I see are bikinis and bimbos and MTV and Playboy and commercials on the streets everywhere. You'd have to be blind not to notice them. They're blind. Hey, if you were blind, our love could work. So I think I'll just get a knife and stab your eyes out. But I don't want you to be blind, because then you couldn't see me. So I guess I'll have to just go to a gym and work out real hard and buy a bikini. I'll buy a bikini.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
16th of November, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. 357 days left in our democracy as we have known it. How you doing, kids? Well, how satisfying was that last night? You don't even have to be a football fan. You just have to hate Stan Kroenke, which I think everybody around here does. You know, I almost didn't watch the game last night. Almost didn't watch it because San Francisco came into the game having won only three games. The Rams only had three losses. So, like I said, I almost didn't watch. So I was doing some work here in the studio, and I had it on up in the corner here, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. San Francisco just went up by seven. That's interesting. That's interesting-er. San Francisco's up 14 to nothing, and it's just beautiful. You know, no shots of Stan Kroenke in the owner's box last night. Final score, 31-10. The Rams lose. How wonderful was that? And again, I stress this point. Outside of St. Louis, the world, the sports world, unless you know, have a subscription to The Athletic or something like that, but just in general, the general public and the general sports world has no idea what's going on with regard to the Stan Kroenke thing. You know, a decision could come down next year. Well, it will come down next year one way or the other. That is going to have a dramatic impact in professional sports. This might be one of the biggest sports stories of the millennium, and nobody knows what's going on. I was in a bar in Florida, and this was maybe 3 weeks ago, and this guy was a big football fan, and I'm telling this, what's going on with the lawsuit? He has no idea, and he's just shaking his head no, like, well, how can this be happening without me knowing about it? And apparently outside of St. Louis, it's not considered a very big story, at least not yet. Now, when that trial starts, what is it, January 10th, I believe it is, somewhere right in there, in, you know, city court in downtown St. Louis. Well, you know, now all of a sudden you're going to have this swarm of reporters from all over the country standing in front of the courthouse there waiting to see what happens. That's if it gets that far, you know, because we've been hearing these stories pop up, you know, depending on what you listen to, what you pay attention to. The city of St. Louis has been offered $100 million by Stan Kroenke. Here, I'll write you a check for $100 million. We all just walk away from this thing. You drop the lawsuit. And the lawyers representing the city of St. Louis said, fuck you, and walked away. Stan knows he's going to lose. He's going to lose. He's going to lose big time. And if you're saying $100 million, why didn't you just take that? Think of all everything you could do. Supposedly we were out, I don't know, I've heard $20 million with regard to just the stadium plans and the blueprints and all the stuff that, you know, you have to do when you're trying to make a formal proposal to an owner who's threatening to leave St. Louis. So you spend all this money And then, you know, it comes to this, and he says, all right, here's 100 mil. And they go, no. They just say no. And again, it's because it is believed that if Kroenke loses this lawsuit, if it goes that far, if it actually goes to trial and the judgment goes against Kroenke, he could lose 2/3 of his total wealth. Talking about a lot of money, a hell of a lot more than 100 mil. So, you know, as I've been saying here, City of St. Louis has got to stand by the short ones. And on top of all of that, like I said, just a beautiful, beautiful evening of football viewing last night, 31-10. It's the last pleasant thing we're probably going to see for a while. On a local level, it's this car break-in thing. It's crazy. They're all over the place. Just in St. Louis County alone, car break-ins are up 10%. But they're happening in places where, you know, if you park somewhere in the dark in a remote area and you get your window knocked out, well, maybe that's your own fault. Well, you just go to a ball game, or you go to one of the casinos, or you go to the Chaffetz Arena or something like that, and you come out and your car is, well, in the case of Frank Cusumano, his car is gone. But, you know, they're doing these systematic car break-ins, and they already said that one of the guys, where was it? It was at the casino. Yeah, it was at the casino where somebody broke in and the guy had a gun in the car and they stole that, and that presents a whole new series of problems for St. Louis and county police. So that's the big story locally, at least that's what it appears to be, in addition to what's going to be a beautiful day for weather. I mean, high temperature this time of year for the city of St. Louis is like 50 degrees, and it's probably going to be 71, 72 degrees today in St. Louis. And, of course, it'll be quite a bit warmer in Kenosha when the city goes up in flames, probably by tonight. The Kyle Rittenhouse thing, those closing arguments yesterday, I really thought that the prosecution did a great job, you know, because they have been criticized, and I think for good reason. But the guy did his closing statement yesterday. Man, oh man, I wouldn't have wanted to be Kyle Rittenhouse while that was going on. You might have noticed that the kid was looking down. He looked like he was either writing or doodling or something, but he didn't want to look up while this guy was laying this whole case out. And then the defense came back and they were on and on and on. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is one of the things they preach to us in radio all the time, and that is listener fatigue. Listener fatigue. A lot of people say, why don't you make the podcast like an hour? And it's like, listener fatigue. No, seriously, the all these studies and all this research about what happens when people are sitting and just sitting there and go, okay, we've heard this, we've heard this, we've heard this. This is the 10th time we've heard this. And people just start to get drowsy. You know, plus they feed them like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They come back from lunch. Now you get a big belly full of food and you're sitting there and these guys are going on and on and on. How people stay awake in these situations, I have no idea. And the other thing is, you know, like within a half an hour of me having lunch, I got to go to the bathroom. So I don't know if they factor all of that in to everything. When they say they break for lunch, it's like, well, yeah, they're breaking for lunch and also a poop break. Because you're going to go sit there, in the jury box. There seems to be some confusion about this 18-juror thing. I actually had somebody ask me this yesterday. I don't get it. So here's what happens. I got 18, and if you know this stuff, please just indulge me here for a moment, because apparently there's people who don't understand it. We want to make sure they get it. Everybody knows you have 12 jurors in a situation like this, but they have 18 people that have been in the jury box for this whole thing. This is a relatively short trial, by the way. You know, even my lawsuit with Stephen D.C., and I'm going to talk about that here in a minute, even that went 6 days. So this is a relatively short trial, considering there's 2 deaths and then a 3rd injury. What the court doesn't want to have is a juror that has to be dismissed for some sort of reason, and then they're short 1 juror. And things happen all the time. I mean, we've seen jurors dismissed because they're not supposed to talk about the case with somebody and they get talking about it, or they even put something on social media and the judge says, okay, you're gone. And now you got a problem here. So what they do is they have 18 jurors. And then if they have to lose one for whatever reason, you know, you have a big family emergency, somebody could get sick, Like I said, somebody will say something stupid in public, and they got to dismiss the person. But so you got these 18 people, and what will happen now this morning when this thing actually goes to the jury and they begin deliberating is just like a lottery. You know, it's going to be like Powerball. And in this particular case, you know, they'll put all of the 18 names in this little drum. They'll spin it, and they're going to pull out 12 names, and the other people will be dismissed. The 12 people will begin deliberating, and I suspect we'll have a verdict by sometime tonight. National Guard up there. What they say, they have 500 National Guard that have been activated, and they're ready to hit the streets of Wisconsin. The kid is going to walk. I don't think there's any question that the prosecution, I think, had problems, and also just the way the law is written in Wisconsin. But here's the thing to remember. You can't claim self-defense if the situation that you found yourself in requiring that self-defense was caused by you. So the question becomes, did the prosecution skillfully enough prove to the jury that Kyle Rittenhouse did, in fact, create that situation? Now, here's the other thing. They could get him on some lesser charges, and even some of those lesser charges, like a second-degree murder charge, would, I think that's a 12-year sentence. 12 years is a long time, and this is one of those situations where you get the idea that regardless of what the outcome is, what the verdict is, they're going to go nuts in the streets of Kenosha tonight anyhow. And I do believe that the jury is going to come back with a verdict before the end of the proceedings today. We shall see. But like I said, I get the idea that regardless of what happens, it's going to be nuts in the streets anyhow. A couple of things I want to play for you. Let's start with this thing from John Oliver the other night on HBO.
And now, the many questions of Fox and Friends' Brian Kilmeade.
Well, how do diners have 20 pages in their menu? They can make anything, right? How do they do that? Why do all newborns have that same blanket? What great American decided that you needed a bun with a hot dog? Do you know? What's the difference between SoulCycle and spinning? Do we know? And why did it hit the iceberg? Do we know? What do bears eat? Do they eat squirrels? Why are bears always alone?
Do you think the sharks know it's Shark Week?
What part of the cow is the skirt? It makes you question everything. Like, why was it ever the International House of Pancakes? But how does a baby retire? What if a tree could just hover? Is spam meat.
What's this called?
Why are turnips so seasonal?
Turnips.
Do you have turnips more than once a year? Why don't we have turnips all year round? Because the pilgrims didn't?
We do. We
have. You do?
Yeah, sure.
I'm really bummed because everybody's going into hiatus now. John Oliver, that was his last show of the year. Bill Maher is already down for the rest of the year. But you have all those Christmas movies all over Lifetime. And, you know, you had satellite radio, and then KZK flipped Christmas music 24 hours a day last week sometime. In my neighborhood, there's probably about 15 people who already have their Christmas lights up and on. If you're smart, you do a day like today where it's going to be in the low 70s. You put the Christmas lights on the house, but you don't turn them on until at least Thanksgiving night. Because I've had so many years that I recall where I'm standing out there, can't even feel my fingers, and you're trying to string lights and untangle lights. And you're doing all of a sudden, it's like, I can't feel anything from my elbows down, and you're just kicking yourself. You're just like, it was 72 degrees last week. Why didn't I do it that day? So, you know, if you can pull it off, today is the day to do it. All right, here's the other thing I wanted to play for you. I mentioned a couple of times that I'm not knocked out by Bob Costas' new show on HBO, which is called Back on the Record. And I think this might be the first time ever in the history of I've known Bob Costas for almost 40 years, where I've said I'm not just floored by what he does. Everything he does is perfect. Everything he does is fantastic. And this is the first time he's come along and it's like, this one, I'm a little lukewarm on this one. But he had a great commentary the other night. You really should listen to this. It has to do with the increasingly cozy relationship that has been going on between professional sports, particularly the NFL, and the gambling world. Here's Bob.
Even as the come on ads and the cheerful tone of the all-in broadcasters make it seem like there's only upside here, even as leagues that once condemned legalized gambling now not only accept it but encourage it. Know this, if as a group and over time, gamblers didn't lose much more than they win, then no casino, racetrack, Nathan Detroit floating crap game, and now DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, PointsBet, et al. Would ever exist. The deck is always stacked in favor of the house. Just as in sports, the answer almost always is follow the money, even if consistent principle has to take a back seat to counting the cash. Time for us to cash it in for this edition of Back on the Record. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.
I don't gamble, never have, never will. I don't even do NCAA brackets every March. I, at a very young age, saw guys get knocked around a little bit on the old South Side of Chicago when they were not able to pay up, shall we say. And I decided I like my kneecaps the way they are. So I just decided at a very young age it just wasn't going to be something I was going to do. You know, just like deciding that you're not going to do drugs or that you're not going to drink heavily. I've broken that one a couple of times, but I'm still solid on the gambling. If you want to do it, you go ahead. I agree with Bob. You walk into these casinos and it's just marble, you know, two stories of marble walls and fountains. With water doing really creative things, by the way. The stuff they figured out how to bend water. I still have no idea how they do that. And it's not just like the Bellagio either. You don't have to go to Vegas. You know, all the casinos in St. Louis, I think most of them have these water things. I don't know how you bend water. I'll go to the casino to watch that. And, you know, maybe they have the Monday night all-you-can-eat crab legs dinner at a couple of places. And then I leave. I don't even know how to gamble anyhow. I don't have the slightest idea. Not interested. All right, Journey is going on the road with Billy Idol. The first time I read it yesterday, it looked like it said Billy Joel. It's like Journey and Billy Joel. What? No, it's Billy Idol. Journey and Billy Idol. March 21st at the Enterprise Center. Let me just tell you something. I've never seen Billy Idol in concert. I've seen Journey many times. And the last two times I saw Journey have cured me of ever wanting to see them again. And I love the music. I'm not crazy about the new singer, you know, but I saw the band when Steve Perry was still around, and I consider myself fortunate in that regard. But the biggest problem I have with Journey now is that apparently everybody's afraid of Neil Sean, and they just won't tell him, Neil, we don't need a 10-minute guitar solo in the middle of every single song we play, because that's what you get right now. And it doesn't matter if it's Separate Ways or Faithfully, this guy will get in a 10-minute guitar solo in every single song, and it's ruined my enjoyment of seeing Journey live. And he's sort of out there anyhow. Remember that tall, skinny, blonde chick? She and her husband crashed a party at the White House, maybe 10, 12 years ago. She was wearing that famous red dress, really, really, you know, bleach blonde, almost white hair, tall, thin. And at some point, somebody says, who the hell are you guys? And that couple sort of became famous. All right. So anyhow, she ended up breaking up with her husband, and Neil Sean married her. And not only did they get married, it was their plan to put the wedding on pay-per-view. Now, how self-absorbed do you have to be to think that I'm Neil Sean from Journey and I'm marrying this? What is her name? It's driving me crazy. What was her name? Michaela Salahi. Michaela Salahi and her husband, his name is Tariq or something like that. Tarek. Yeah, here's the story. Who are the White House party crashers? But it seems to me that Neil Sean has. And by the way, we had Neil on the show just a couple of years ago. It was maybe 2-3 years ago. And when I was still doing the on-the-air radio thing. And he was very nice. He's very very pleasant to talk to. And, you know, I had some good questions. He had some good answers. And I think those of you who heard that probably really enjoyed it. But it doesn't erase the fact that you got to scratch your head going, why do you think people would want to watch your wedding on pay-per-view? It's one thing to say we're going to put it on TV. It's another thing to say we're going to get married and we want you to pay money to us to be able to watch it. Huh? If somebody in your family has a 3G phone, and I know a lot of people will laugh and go, 3G? Well, you know, a lot of elderly people, you know, your moms and dads and grandparents and stuff like that, who, you know, bought a phone 20 years ago, and they're still using 3G. You got to do something about that, because 3G phones are going dead soon. A lot of medical devices, some older home security systems operate 3G. Boost Mobile, that outfit that sells those really, really cheap phones and cheap plans, over a million of their customers are basically fucked because the 3G is going down, and that's what they operate with. A lot of low-income, you know, poor people, elderly, have those phones. So double-check, because those things are going down here, and pretty soon you're going to be making calls going, how come Grandpa isn't answering? And he isn't answering because the phone doesn't work anymore. Oh, back to that football game last night for a minute. Kawan Williams of the 49ers made an interception last night by pinning the ball to his butt. Now, it didn't end up counting because he was flagged for pass interference, but it was very, very entertaining and just part of a completely entertaining night. Did I mention that the Rams and Stan Kroenke lost 31-10 to San Francisco last night? All right, Pee Wee Herman going to host his own radio show for one night only, KCRW in Santa Monica. Pee Wee said, I'm so excited. It's my very first one. Tune in to hear me play some great music and bring surprises. He's thinking that it might evolve into something bigger. I'll get the date of this whole thing, and then you can listen online to KCRW when they announce what the actual date is. Even though he's dating Kim Kardashian, Pete Davidson kept things professional when he worked with Taylor Swift on SNL over the weekend. Those two are mortal enemies. I'm talking about Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian. Marilyn Manson now being accused of having a small soundproof enclosure called the Bad Girls Room, where he would lock women into when he was mad at them, sometimes for hours. I used to work with somebody who did shit like that. Kristen Stewart is developing a ghost hunting reality series, but she's making it gay. She said it'll be, quote, a paranormal romp into queer space, end quote. And here we go. Former Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley thinks the Astroworld disaster is part of a satanic plot. All right, if you have Netflix and you like Michael Che, co-anchor along with Colin Jost on Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update, Shame the Devil, Michael Che's stand-up special, starts today on Netflix. Late Night Tonight on Fallon, Vanessa Hudgens, Kirsten Dunst on with Jimmy Kimmel, Colbert's got Dwayne Wade, Mindy Kaling on with James Corden, and Seth Meyers as Aubrey Plaza. Does it make me weird that I find her oddly attractive? Because I do. Mel Gibson set to direct Lethal Weapon 5. On Thursday, I see this movie, House of Gucci, that has basically everybody in it, including Lady Gaga. And the guy who was the dialect coach for the movie said he didn't like the way her accent sounded. Well, he was the dialect coach, so why didn't he fix it? I don't understand that story at all. And despite the lawsuit from the former Naked Baby, Nirvana's 30th anniversary edition of Nevermind is going out with the original cover. Monkees played their farewell gig Sunday night. Birthdays today, the aforementioned Pete Davidson, 28, Maggie Gyllenhaal, 44, Lisa Bonet, married to Jason Momoa, I know, ladies, I know, 54 today, Dwight Gooden, formerly of the Mets, 57, Marg Helgenberger from CSI is 63, and it was 31 years ago today, 31, remember the first time you saw Home Alone, and you said to yourself, this is so much fun, 1990 is when it came out. By the way, I've read some stories about the people who turned down the roles in Home Alone, the Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern roles. At one point, the roles were supposedly going to be portrayed by Robert De Niro and John Lovitz. De Niro turned it down. Pesci got it. Hit it out of the park. Marv, what are you doing? Marv? Marv! I still love the movie. I love all parts of it. That final scene with the old man next door gets me every single time. To the point now where if you ask me what's the best Christmas movie of all time, you know, it would probably come down to It's a Wonderful Life and Home Alone. And I don't know. I might actually pick Home Alone these days. And the other movie I like, it's a Christmas movie. Well, it's not. Is it a Christmas movie or isn't? It's sort. And now I'm not talking about Die Hard. I'm going to do a dissertation on Die Hard next week that I hope will put to an end finally and permanently this discussion. There's people I like. There's people I love dearly. And they think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and it's not. And I'll deal with that next week. But there's this great movie, and it's not technically a Christmas movie, although there's a lot of Christmas stuff in it. And if you do get a chance to watch it, you'll understand why I'm sort of being a little sketchy about this. I can't tell you too much, but it's about the first winner of the New York State lottery. And the guy's life just basically goes berserk, but then they do flashback, and it's just wonderful. It's just, I got goosebumps just talking about this. You think I'm kidding? It's too bad there's not video. I'm covered with goosebumps right now. The movie is called 29th Street. Anthony LaPaglia is just great in it. Danny Aiello is marvelous in it. Lainey Kazan, some great supporting actors and actresses. If you get a chance to see the movie 29th Street and you don't like it, you send me a note and go, JC, you recommended that movie, we watched it and we hated it. I'll send you the money. I'll send you the money for the amount that it cost you to rent it. I won't, of course, but it was a nice thing. It was a nice thing to say, wasn't it? Like I said, part of Wisconsin probably going to go up in flames tonight, regardless of what the verdict is. I don't know what else can go wrong in 2021, but here you go. Russia blew up one of its own satellites with a missile yesterday. Now the debris is threatening the space station and all seven astronauts on board. That includes four Americans, one German, and two Russian cosmonauts. They had to rush to their two escape pods yesterday morning just in case the station got hit. Even a tiny piece of debris could be devastating because everything up there is going at 17,000 miles an hour, 10 times faster than a bullet. At least 1,500 pieces of debris large enough to be tracked are now circling the Earth and come back around every 90 minutes or so. And there could be hundreds of thousands of smaller pieces too. So the crew isn't out of the woods yet. And if you're saying, wait, wasn't this a movie? You're right. It's almost the exact premise of the 2013 film Gravity with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. There was more debris in that movie, but it started the same way with Russia destroying one of its own satellites with a missile. The real-life astronauts should be okay. The station can adjust its orbit a little bit when necessary, and the crew left their escape pods after they passed the debris field for the third time about 2 hours after it all started. But it still could be a threat over the next few days or even years as it spreads out and settles into orbit. And this isn't the first time the Ruskies have done something like this. They tested a similar missile last December, but it didn't hit anything. The U.S. and other countries are now criticizing him, calling it outrageous and irresponsible, and a lot worse than that, by the way. And finally, a 45-year-old woman in St. Petersburg, Florida, named Maria Jurglewicz, got pulled over about 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday after a cop saw her drifting between lanes. She had alcohol on her breath, couldn't follow simple instructions, and was slurring her speech. But she claimed she hadn't been drinking and blamed it all on an egg roll. She said she was eating an egg roll in the car, and that's what made her swerve. The police report doesn't mention any food containers or other signs that she'd actually been eating in the car, but they did find a bunch of drugs, pills, opiates, a straw with white residue on it. She's facing charges for drunk driving, possession of drugs without a prescription, possession of a controlled substance, and being a dumbass. And there's at least one person having a worse day than you. All right, that's it. We got to go. Like everybody else, we're on the verdict watch up in Wisconsin. I suspect we'll have a verdict in by tonight, and we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow if we so choose. It'll be beaten to death by the time I get here tomorrow morning, but we'll see what shakes out. Have a great day. Enjoy this weather. Put your Christmas lights up outside today when it's 72 degrees. Don't wait for it to go back down to 20, okay? Just a little helpful advice from your old buddy JC. That's the podcast for Tuesday, November 16th, 2021. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.